It's Colorado Matters from CPR News. I'm Ryan Warner. The vast majority of recommendations for medical marijuana have come from a small number of doctors. The state wants to figure out if those physicians are acting responsibly and at the same time to develop guidelines for all doctors who may recommend marijuana. The governor just signed a bill to do this. It had Dr. Larry Wolk's support. He's chief medical officer at the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. And he thinks about 24 doctors warrant additional scrutiny.
Who don't appear to be practicing within their specialty. Adult doctors making recommendations for children, obstetricians making recommendations for male patients, geriatricians or docs who take care of elderly folks making recommendations for patients in their 20s.
And if this were any other drug or medication, would that be unusual?
It would be, or for any procedure or any kind of doctor-patient relationship. The Constitution says that you have to have a bona fide patient-physician relationship. And so
the state constitution says that?
The state constitution says that. And so
now, they could have a bona fide relationship. It's just an odd one for a geriatrician to be taking care of a younger person, I guess.
Exactly. And so all our role is through the Department of Public Health and Environment is to raise that flag, send it over to the Department of Regulatory Agencies, which houses the medical board, so that they can investigate and ask questions to make sure that this is, in fact, a bona fide relationship.
And can it be a bona fide relationship if it's an OBGYN working with a man?
Well, it's really up to the medical board, but my personal opinion is yes. I think sometimes physicians will train in a particular specialty. They'll decide that they want to pursue a different specialty, and they'll obtain the necessary credentials or training or whatever it is in order to be able to do that.
So what is the least generous interpretation of what these doctors are doing? That they would be simply a kind of turnstile for medical marijuana recommendations?
Yeah. Least generous is a physician who's just doing it to make money, and they're just running patients through a mill. Even less generous than that, to use your term, would be that this could be a path for diversion to the gray market or the black market, where a physician is just writing for excess amounts for a patient outside of their trained specialty, and then that patient can gain access to excess amounts that then they can sell or divert out of state or to minors.
But this is not a majority by any means of physicians who are making recommendations for medical marijuana.
This is a handful, relatively speaking.
And 20-something, you said.
Yeah, 20-something. But these 20-something are probably responsible for, you know, at least two-thirds of the medical marijuana recommendations that are made in the state.
You're saying that two dozen doctors are responsible for how many recommendations?
90,000 patients, 90,000 patient recommendations.
Is there a risk that this becomes, for lack of a better term, a witch hunt? And that is doctors who deeply believe in the medicinal benefits of marijuana are targeted?
Well, they're not targeted. Certainly, you know, there are doctors who deeply believe and feel that they've done the work to create their community standard for making these recommendations. And I would say that those doctors have nothing to worry about. It really is those doctors who don't have that additional expertise or who can't demonstrate that they've done what is necessary in the Board of Medical Examiner's eyes to create this community standard of practice as well as have this bona fide patient-physician relationship.
Now, a lot of the recommendations, and there's a list of conditions for which you can qualify for medical marijuana, correct?
There are. There's eight current conditions and then an additional condition that will be brought forward to the Board of Health.
Which is?
Post-traumatic stress disorder.
Right. But the majority of recommendations are for pain, correct?
Yeah. 95% in rough numbers come in under the recommendation for pain.
And when you look at the age range of those who are most often getting recommendations for medical marijuana, they tend to be in their 20s. That's the biggest group, correct?
It is. We're seeing the average age continue to come down. And that's another flag for referral for us is if, you know, the average age overall is somewhere around 40, believe it or not. And so if we see a particular physician that has an average age of, you know, 20-something, then that's an indication to us that maybe that physician's practice needs to be evaluated as well.
Because what normally people in that age range don't suffer from pain.
It's supposed to be chronic, severe, debilitating pain. And so, again, there's a concern that that's being misinterpreted. And as a result, the physician, you know, may be a little loose with making those recommendations.
So when the board looks at practices, best practices, or worst practices here in the recommendation of medical marijuana, will they also be looking at guidelines around why it's recommended, not just how and by whom, but a judgment of some kind of whether pain is a reasonable claim, you know, by a patient?
Well, it's a new frontier. And I think there are a lot of people taking stabs at trying to sort of put forth what is kind of a community standard of practice for a physician who's making medical marijuana recommendations. We have those community standards for all kinds of physicians and specialties, whether it's pediatrics or OBGYN or even procedure specific, you know, how and when do I perform certain procedures in my office versus at the hospital.
And so far that has not been brought to bear with medical marijuana.
Well, it's a new frontier, and I think there are a lot of people taking stabs at trying to sort of put forth what those community standards might be. Is it having to take a certain course that offers continuing medical education or a certain type of training or spending a certain number of hours studying pain or some of these other conditions for which medical marijuana can be recommended?
Isn't the fear here, though, that you could prevent those who are in pain from potentially accessing medical marijuana? That is to say, pain is in the eye of the beholder, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think so. I think to do those folks justice, they would like as much objective and evidence-based care provided to them as allowed. We're fortunate from that pain patient's perspective to have the legalized you know, retail marijuana available to
recreational.
Those folks. It doesn't necessarily have to be used for recreational use. I consider it over-the-counter. You don't need to go to a physician if you want to just access over-the-counter, recreational, retail, whatever you want to call it, marijuana to, in essence, self-medicate. Those folks, again, who have that severe, debilitating, chronic pain, just like somebody with PTSD, really would benefit from having a bona fide patient-physician relationship so that that physician can help them really assess what their pain is due to and really come up with a plan that may or may not include medical marijuana.
I suppose a skeptic could look at this and say, oh, this is the state just being interested in more tax revenue because recreational or retail, as you say, marijuana is taxed at a higher rate than medical. Does the state have its bottom line in mind here?
Not at all. Again, coming through the Department of Public Health and Environment, and Department of Regulatory Agencies has nothing to do with the taxed, legalized side of this. There's no money motivation here at all. This is really about ensuring, you know, appropriate recommendation as stated through the state constitution.
Could there be repercussions of some kind for physicians that you think are acting unprofessionally?
Well, that's up to the Board of Medical Examiners, but certainly, you know, they have the authority to evaluate for unprofessional conduct and or for malpractice. And so I think there could be repercussions, but if I'm a physician, you know, I myself, I'm a pediatrician. If I went out and did the appropriate training and got the necessary expertise to make recommendations for adults, I personally would feel like I have nothing to worry about if the board wanted to come and take a look at my practice and ensure that I was, in fact, having a bona fide patient-physician relationships with adult patients.
There is not, you believe, an epidemic of pain in young men in Colorado. And these are mostly men, the statistics bear out.
Yes, and no, I don't think there's an epidemic of pain.
You think something else is going on?
Well, again, I think we've created some incentives for people to continue with the medical program in spite of having a legalized retail or recreational program. And so we just need to make sure that, you know, what's intended for medical use is truly medical use, and what's intended for recreational or retail use is truly recreational or retail use.
The incentives being the difference in taxation?
There's differences in taxation. There's differences in possession amounts. There's differences in legal adult status. And, you know, the sooner that we can grapple with harmonizing those two programs so that we can correct some of these differences, I think the better and the less confusing it'll be for everyone.
Thank you for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Larry Wolk is Chief Medical Officer at the Colorado Health Department. We also spoke with Terry Robnett of the Cannabis Patients Alliance, an advocacy group. She welcomes further guidelines for physicians who recommend medical marijuana, but cautioned that the current group of 20-some-odd doctors responsible for most recommendations are probably, she says, the ones who've done their research.
If we only have a handful of doctors, you know, 25, that are writing most of the recommendations, I wouldn't assume that there is something nefarious there. We have over 100,000 patients, and they need access to doctors. Cannabis is its own specialty. And, I mean, I understand their concern, but at the same time, I mean, until we have more doctors that are comfortable with this, that are in the pool, that have the knowledge, we have to, you know, work within the system and make certain allowances. And I think that this is one of them.
She also says that in Colorado, 20-somethings with severe chronic pain aren't uncommon.
A lot of our veterans that are now coming back are in their 20s, and they have severe injuries. Also, Colorado is a very, very active state. And a lot of these athletes or, you know, active people when they were younger or, you know, they're in early adulthood, they have severe injuries. Cycling injuries, those are pretty common. I mean, we have skiing and snowboarding and all these great activities, and people are bound to get hurt and do develop chronic injuries. And I would much rather have these people, these 20-somethings, using cannabis than forcing them into substances like opiates and other painkillers that are addictive and have very severe side effects.
That's Terry Robnett with the Cannabis Patients Alliance. This is Colorado Matters from CPR News.